Have you ever been so sure about something that you just knew you were right, but later found out that you were wrong? I have. I imagine most of us are in the situation of having to say, yes, I've done that. So the question comes up, does our strong feelings ever interfere in our acceptance of the truth? For example, I was watching the widow Erica Kirk saying, I forgive you, to the young man who shot and killed her husband, Charlie Kirk. Well, it brought tears to my eyes. Yes. And the fact is, all of us need to be willing to forgive anyone who has sinned against us, whether it be a brother or an enemy. In fact, we're to love our enemies and pray for them that despitefully use us to follow the teachings of Christ. But has any of the religious spokesmen on TV pointed out that repentance is required before one can truly forgive someone? I haven't heard that yet. But notice Luke 17, 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. The words of Christ. So, we all should have that willingness to forgive if we're Christians. Now, let me mention this. There are many people today who are following false religious leaders. And because their feelings are so strong about their false religion, they reject the truth. I'm hearing people talk about the rapture. Just heard that earlier today on the radio. Well, it's not in the scriptures. When the Lord comes again, that will be the end of time. He's not coming back to set up his kingdom. The kingdom is the church. Colossians 1:13, verse 18. Yes, we need to understand that if we stay with the Bible. So there are many people today following these false religious leaders who are teaching premillennialism. And we need to be on guard and stay with the Bible. I want us to go now to the book of Proverbs. It will serve well to sum up the fact that even though our feelings are strong, our thinking can be wrong or false. We want to instill this strongly because it can lead us to a tragic ending. Proverbs 14:12, also it's repeated, Proverbs 16:25. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the Word of God reveals to us all things that pertain to life and godliness and is the only source of truth. 2 Peter 1:3. Remember Jesus saying to the disciples who believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus prayed before He went to the cross, sanctify them in Thy truth, Thy word is truth. John 17:17. What does the Bible say? Is that my concern? Should be every one of us is concerned to know for ourselves what the Scriptures teach. So we'll begin our study of some examples of false thinking and their results in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity, PFE. Remember those initials as they help us to keep in mind what we should be doing every day to prepare for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville. As we come together in our Bible classes, we're studying, of course, God's precious Word. And then as we come together in the assembly to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit, but also having a proper attitude in truth, as well as the proper attitude, I should say. So in truth is following the New Testament pattern, and that's John 4:24. Now, something else to mention. We always look forward to having Bible studies. We have Bible correspondence courses. Get in touch with us. We'll set up a study at your convenience or send you a Bible correspondence course. And of course, your comments, positive or negative, are always welcome. If you have Bible questions, we appreciate those as well. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. One other thing I'll mention, the Shelbyville Road Church of Christ is having a gospel meeting beginning today, going through, I believe it's October the 2nd, and the speaker is Brother Hiram Kemp, excellent gospel preacher. You'll want to check out their website for the times of the services. Now let's get to our service, our study, rather, this morning. So we're going to start out with Genesis 20, verse 11, as we're looking at some examples of false thinking and their results. And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake." And Abimelech, of course, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So Abraham, he didn't tell the complete truth. Now, Sarah was his half-sister, but she was his wife, which he should have let be known. And because of this, she was taken. But, of course, God intervened there. And this happened also in Genesis 12, 10 through 13, with Pharaoh. Again, the same situation. You'll see that. Now, Abraham, of course, matured in his faith toward God, but he had to eliminate the false thinking, did he not? And instead of trusting his feelings, trust God. We all need to do that. Our feelings can be strong, but they can be false, wrong. And thus, we need to know by the Scriptures, when it comes to our salvation, our eternal destiny, that's the most important thing. Now let's go to another example. Here's Judah. Of course, one of the sons of Jacob. Genesis 38:15. When Judah saw her, that's Tamar, he thought her to be a harlot because she had covered her face. Now Tamar, she was Judah's daughter-in-law. And you know, Judah went in unto her. In other words, he had sexual relations. And a child was conceived from this sinful act. And when he learned that Tamar was expecting, he would have burned her alive until he realized she was with his child. Genesis 38:24-26. So he thought her to be a harlot, but it was his daughter-in-law. And so that is serious consequences, is it not, for his wrong, false thinking. But let's go on. Here's another example. Eli, the priest, 1 Samuel 1:13. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Well, Hannah was not drunk, but she was praying to God, pouring out her soul. 1 Samuel 1:15. Now, Eli later realized that his assumption was false. And he said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." 1 Samuel 1:17. Now, of course, Samuel was born to Hannah and her husband. Now, Let's go to another example. And again, we're looking at strong feelings. Like with Eli, he assumed, but it was incorrect what he assumed, to think that Hannah was drunken and in a drunken stupor. No, she was praying to God. But notice Captain Naaman now. We're going to 2 Kings 5:11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Well, yes, Naaman was a leper. And a little Israelite, young girl, she was to be thanked for letting him know about the prophet Elisha. And so you see, had not Naaman realized that his thoughts were false, he would have remained a leper until he died. Remember that account where he was told to go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times? Well, his servant let him know, is that so difficult? Well, he thought the rivers closer to him would be better. But he thought wrong. He had a false assumption in his mind. Felt strong about it, but he was wrong. And had he not corrected his thinking, thankfully to his servant's appeal to him, he would have remained a leper till he died. Now, there's great lessons in this account. Of course, we're just looking at the one here, but how many will be denied by Christ on the day of judgment because they refuse to be baptized for the remission of their sins? You see, Naaman was not cured until he dipped that 7th time in the Jordan River, as he was told to do. And if we don't submit to the command of God to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, remission means the same thing. Look at Acts 2:38. What was said to those who participated in crucifying Christ when they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What were they told by the Apostle Peter and the other apostles? To repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's right. No one should misunderstand that. And we could just give scripture after scripture. All the conversions in the book of Acts, they were baptized, immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. But let's go on. Haman, remember in the book of Esther, Esther 6:6, Haman, he was like a prime minister. So he came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, here we go again, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" Well, his pride was behind these thoughts. It was Mordecai, of course, Esther's uncle, to be honored. Haman ended up on the gallows that he had built for Mordecai. Remember that? Esther 7:9-10. Well, how wrong was his thinking, and what a mess he got himself in. You'll want to study that later. But notice the lesson here. How many will let their pride stand in the way of obeying the gospel of Christ? Well, I believe this way. Well, if the scriptures say otherwise, we better give up this way for the Lord's way. Right? We all should say, right. Of course, do the will of God. Not let pride stand in our way. Here's another example. the disciples, John 13:29, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Judas was the betrayer of Christ, but the disciples were not aware of it. They didn't pick up on this. And we may, like Judas, be able to fool those around us. You see, this is the lesson again for us. But we cannot fool God. No, sir. We can't do that. But how many people get away with things by pretending and putting on an act, fooling those around them? But Jesus knew that Judas would betray him, John 13:27, did he not? We know that he did. Well, let's go on. Here's another example. Simon of Samaria. Remember in Acts 8, when Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel of Christ? And there was tremendous results. And they, of course, they didn't have the apostles there at the time, but Peter and John came down to Samaria in order to lay hands on those that obeyed the gospel, to pass on the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit on those that had obeyed the gospel, of course. And Simon, the former sorcerer who had become a Christian, you see, he wanted to purchase that ability to lay on hands. And notice, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. He thought incorrectly. He thought the opposite of what was right. And of course, he needed to what? Repent and pray for forgiveness. This is the second law of pardon here. Yes, he had obeyed the gospel, but now he had fallen away, because his thoughts were selfish and worldly. Acts 8:13-20. And how many today think the power of God can be bought with money? Faith healers and TV evangelists become rich, yes, off of people thinking improperly with false thoughts and being deceived. But let's go on. Here's another example. Paul. Yes, when he was known as Saul of Tarsus, Acts 26:9, this is Paul's recounting of that time. He said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He was wrecking havoc to the church. The church is the called out. The church is the saints, the sanctified, the Christians who are part of the body of Christ. And he was kicking the pricks, Jesus said. It's hard for thee to do that. When Paul was met on the road of going to Damascus to arrest Christians, and the Lord appeared unto him. But you know, Paul said that he lived in all good conscience toward God, Acts 23:1. Well, he thought he was doing the will of God while he was doing that. He thought improperly. His thoughts were false. And how many today think they're doing the will of God, but are following the doctrine of devils? 1 Timothy 4:1. We need to know what the Scriptures teach, not what someone we think highly of has told us. Study the Word of God. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. We need to mention this. God knows our thoughts. Jesus knew the men's thoughts as he's in the flesh, Matthew 9:4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? God knows our very thoughts too, does he not? We know he does. David realized this, Psalm 139:2, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising, thou understandest thought afar off. Job realized this. Job 42:2. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Sin starts out where? In our thoughts. Acts 8:22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee, is what was said to Simon. We just talked about earlier. We are not to give over to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, nor the pride of life. Genesis 3:6, Satan used that with Eve, those three temptations, as he uses that with us today, 1 John 2:16. These three avenues of temptation start to work where? That's right, in our thoughts. Notice James 1:14-15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, spiritual death. You know, the birds fly over our heads, but we can keep them from nesting in our hair, can we not? If the thought would be put into action, then it becomes sin. Think about that, all of us. Matthew 5:22-28. We need to turn our thoughts and feet to God's Word. Psalm 119:59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. That's the Word of God, isn't it? Psalm 119:97, Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23, that's the attitude we need to have. So are we feeding on God's Word, or are we starving to death spiritually? Matthew 4:4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus rebuked Satan and his temptation. And of course, as babes, newborn babes, starting out, we desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby, 1 Peter 2:2, and mature, graduate to the meat of the Word, in other words. Now, how much time is given to TV, movies, reading novels? Well, we can do some of that if it's not filth and sinful stuff. We can understand that, but compare how much time we're doing to the fun things as compared to the time we're studying God's Word. Yes, what's having more impact on our lives? The TV, the movies, the novels, music that has words that are influencing us? Think about it. Studying the Word of God is pleasurable. We may have our hearts pricked if we need to correct something, but that's what we should do. Correct it. And want to be pricked in the heart to correct those problems that keep us from being in fellowship with God. So, what kind of thoughts do we have most of the time? I'm speaking to myself too. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Is that what we're doing? Let's work at it. Let's be sure we're working at that. And if we're not doing this at all, well, it's not too late to start now. You know, God put these examples that we've covered this morning, and there are others, in His Holy Word for a good reason. Are we trusting our feelings, or are we continuing in the Word of God? As Jesus said in John 8:31-32, we've got to continue in His Word. We can't stop. It's not a, well, I've reached the limit. No. Continuing in the Word of God and in the truth. So can we prove what we feel and think by God's Word? 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Try those spirits to see if they're of God, 1 John 4:1. Search the Scriptures daily to be sure those things are so, Acts 17:11, as the Bereans did. Are we able to make this statement? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Psalm 139:23. Well, God knows our thoughts even though we may not want Him to. Luke 12:40. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Now, when the Lord comes again, every eye shall behold Him. There won't be any rapture and certain ones disappearing from cars and all of that. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. Every eye shall behold Him. And we need to be ready for that great day. So are we ready? We sing the song, are you ready for that great day? When it comes, it'll be too late if we're not ready. So this morning, we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel if you have not done so. We have to hear the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Now we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, John 8:24. Having believed that Jesus is the Christ, now we're ready to repent. We're going to change our will, our way of thinking, and be ready to do God's will. Luke 13:3 and 5. Now, having repented of our sins, we're ready to make the good confession before others, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And then, having made the good confession, we're ready to be immersed. We have to be under the water, not sprinkled, not poured, buried. That's a watery grave that we're going down into. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried, notice that, with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now tell me, where do we contact the blood of Christ? If you say some other way than through baptism, you're incorrect according to the Scriptures. We contact His precious blood as we die to sin, as He shed His blood in His death. And this is where we contact it, in that watery grave. And then we need to live faithfully unto death, as the Lord adds us to His body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful, even unto death. We thank you so much for listening today.